It's February and love is in the air, but will it last? Love that is based on looks, pleasure, fun, good times, wealth, health, etc. won't last. Godly love, though, isn't based on circumstances. Godly love involves an act of the will. Children and families in America desperately need for husbands and wives to commit to love one another as Christ has loved them. With God's help, you can love your spouse until death do you part.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longwell.
We are today continuing our sermon series, A Love Worth Waiting For and Remaining Faithful To. And with every topic that we look at, we first look at what is truth. That's the question that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, and he did so sarcastically, but really we need to ask, what is truth? And we need to look at the Bible to find truth, because Jesus said that the Word of God is truth. He also said that He is truth, and of course He was the Word that was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was actually the Word that was spoken to create the heavens and the earth. So we have this ability to actually read the Word, to apply it to our lives, to learn, to meditate upon it, to, as Jesus said, we should abide in His Word, that we might be His disciples indeed, that we might know the truth, and the truth might set us free. And so I want to encourage you today, I want to challenge you, if you haven't been reading the Bible, and really, I'm not just talking about a verse a day. You know, you got to think about this. What does it mean to abide in? Well, you know, most of us live in a house or live in an apartment. Even people that are homeless, you know, they have some place that they live at least for a short period of time, maybe in their car or a hotel room or something else. But you're looking at actually being there for quite a bit of time. So we should actually be reading the Word of God. We should be memorizing it. We should be thinking about it. We should be able to quote the Word of God. And just like Jesus, when He was tempted, He was able to quote the Word of God. How did He do that? Because He had memorized the Word of God. And He was able to rightly divide the Word of God. We're told that we should rightly divide the Word of God. So I want to challenge you to develop a biblical worldview, a worldview that is shaped on the Bible. The Word of God should shape your view on every area of life, not only your personal life, but also your family life, including your marriage, and also the church. We should apply the Word of God to the church, and we should apply the Word of God to our government, local, state, and national, and really even to all the nations of the earth. We've been looking at actually and comparing the foolish woman and the woman that is righteous. And you can, again, if you're a woman or maybe you're training a young woman, you can also look at the flip side, because there are a lot of foolish men, there are a lot of wicked men, and it's important to actually steer clear of those who are wicked. It's also important that we as men and women are righteous ourselves. Not that we can be perfect, but that's our goal. Our goal is perfection. Jesus said, or the Bible says, to be holy even as God is holy. It's an impossible task, but it is the mark that God has set. Every one of us falls short, and that's why we need the blood of Jesus. None of us is going to get to heaven with our own merit, with our own works, but every single one of us needs to be striving to live like Jesus lived, to live the way God wants us to live, to be holy, to be righteous, to not be a wicked man, to not be a wicked woman. And so we see in Proverbs 5 a comparison and a warning to the son, to Solomon's son, to pay attention to wisdom, to lend his ear to understanding. You'll see these phrases being used quite often in the book of Proverbs. And the thing is, if you don't lend your ear to wisdom, if you don't lend your ear to understanding, if you don't pay attention to wisdom, then what will happen is you'll be influenced by others. If you're not reading the Word of God and meditating upon the Word of God and allowing your thoughts to come into conformity with the Word of God, then you very likely will be influenced by the devil. You'll be influenced by the world. You'll be influenced by your friends that may not actually have a biblical worldview. You may be influenced by a politician or by a celebrity, by a sports figure. It's important that the primary influence in your life is God, and He speaks to us primarily through His Word. So we see here that we are to pay attention to wisdom, to lend our ear to understanding. Why? That we may preserve discretion and our lips may keep knowledge. So you see here, paying attention to wisdom, paying attention to understanding, that we may have discretion, that we may live a discreet life and avoid the traps of the enemy, avoid the traps of the devil, and that our lips may keep knowledge. And you see the comparison here is that to that of an immoral woman whose lips drip honey. It looks like it's sweet. And just think about this. You know, not everyone in America eats honey, but everyone eats some sort of sweet food, whether it's fruit or a cake or a cookie or juice or soda. Every single person does consume some things that are sweet. And so, but you have to think, in this time, they couldn't go out and get a cannoli or a cake or a cookie or something like that. Honey was one of the treats. It was one of the desserts. It made things taste sweet. And so you see here the enticement that an immoral woman, her lips drip honey. It's something that's enticing, something that would allure you, something that would draw you unto her. And her mouth is smoother than oil. Oil was a big part of their diet as well. Olive oil. So she looks very enticing, but you see in verse 4, in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So one of the things God wants us to do is not to just look at the pleasure, to not to just look at the allurement, to not look at that and say, wow, wouldn't that be great if I could if I could be intimate with this immoral woman? No. We need to look at the end. The end result is she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. You don't want to be cut up by this woman. You want to steer clear. And you see here that her feet go down to death and her steps lay hold of hell. So there are consequences, and those consequences have a physical impact. And in fact, one of the things the Bible says in the New Testament, that when we sin sexually, that we sin against our own body. And there is actually some of the diseases that people have because of sexual promiscuity, they will have for the rest of their lives. And some of the diseases actually can lead to and hasten death. And there are also, the Bible tells us, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that there are consequences to sin, and especially to sexual sin. And you see here that her steps lay hold of hell. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that those who practice several sins that are listed there, among which are fornication and adultery and homosexuality, by the way, those aren't the only sins that are listed there, but those who practice those shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This, by the way, definitely doesn't mean that if you've ever sinned in one of those ways that you are doomed to hell. No, what needs to happen is you need to repent of your sins. You need to cry out to God, ask Him to forgive you. But you need to realize here that if you go on and continue in that lifestyle of fornication or adultery or homosexuality, that the consequences of that are death and they are hell. And you need to realize that really repenting means that you go your way and sin no more. As Jesus told the woman who was actually caught in adultery, or that's at least what the Jewish leaders said, hey, she was caught in adultery in the very act. And of course, this was a trap to try to get Jesus to either go against the law of God or to actually order her to be executed, which could have gotten him in trouble with the authorities. Either way, he would have been in trouble. Jesus actually outsmarted them and tricked them, and they left. But he said, where are your accusers? Is there no one to condemn you? And she says, no one. And he said, I do not condemn you either. But he didn't just stop there. He said, go your way and sin no more. He didn't say, go your way and continue committing adultery. It's okay. God is love. God loves you. It's important that we realize that God loves us, but he demands that we repent of our sins and turn from our wicked ways. You may recall, if you've listened to my sermons on this topic, even and you've listened to some of my sermons, you know that I've spent some time in jail. I've been a jailbird for peacefully protecting its preborn children from abortion. And one time when I was in jail, I actually was taken to court. And when I came back from court, I actually was taken to this one dormitory, which was kind of a temporary dormitory. They would bring people in there temporarily and then move them to another dormitory where they would be more permanently. And for whatever reason, on this day, there were only three people. Other than the guard, there were only three inmates in this dormitory. There was me, and there were two homosexuals. And a lot of the male homosexuals that are in jail are actually male prostitutes. They will dress up as women, and they will attempt to allure men. And of course, there's certain things that men can't do that women can do, but there are other things that they can do, and they offer to do those things for money. And then, of course, sometimes they're caught, they're arrested, and they're brought to jail. And these two homosexuals were at the bunk right next to me. And they were talking about their filthy lifestyle and how they live. And I was there. I was reading the Bible, and I was trying to concentrate on the Word of God and trying to be polite and not to butt into what they were talking about. But they just kept talking about their sin. They kept talking about it. And finally, I couldn't stand it anymore. And I turned to them and I said, don't you realize that what you're talking about is an abomination to God? And the one homosexual told me, God is love. And he had heard that so many times that he knew that God was love, but he didn't know that God is holy. He didn't know that God is righteous. He didn't know that God is a consuming fire. He didn't know that God is a jealous God. He didn't know that God has wrath also, that God is in fact angry with the wicked, and that if the wicked does not turn and repent, that God's wrath one day will consume the wicked. And so there's a balance here, and we need to realize that not only is God love, but God is also righteous, and because he is righteous, because he is holy, he demands perfection. We all fall short of that, whether you have sinned as a homosexual, whether you've sinned as a committing adultery or fornication, which really covers all sexual sin, whether you've committed adultery in your mind, whether you've actually physically done so or committed homosexuality in your mind or physically done so, God actually wants holiness, and he demands holiness, and he calls us to repent. And if we don't repent, if we don't turn from our wicked ways, if we continue in our sin, there's one end for us, and that is death, and that is hell. We're not pointing, not trying to single out homosexuals here. This God is clear. Those who fornicate are in the same boat. Those who commit adultery are in the same boat. You can't say, well, you know, things are different now. You just don't understand. Everyone's doing it. Listen, if everyone's doing it and they don't repent, they're going to hell. We need to repent of our sins. We need to cry out to God and ask God to forgive us and set us free. How do you get set free from your sin? Well, how have we been talking about it? What does Jesus say? What did the psalmist say? Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Jesus said that we are to abide in his word, that we might be his disciples indeed, that we might know the truth, and the truth might set us free. How did Jesus resist temptation? By hiding the word of God in his heart. And when he was tempted, rather than meditating upon that temptation, rather than meditating upon the sin, the Bible talks about in James that when we think about sin, when we are allured by it, that there's a conception process that happens in our mind. If we're thinking about the enticement, if we're thinking about the lips that drip honey, the mouth that's smoother than oil, the breast, if we're thinking about the body, if we're thinking about how pleasurable this will be, what happens is we're lusting, and then there's a conception that happens, and that conception gives forth way to actually committing the act of sin. So we need to actually, instead of meditating upon the sin, we need to follow the path of Jesus and meditate upon his word, and to actually have his word hidden in our heart. You know what? If you haven't memorized scripture yet, you can start today. And a good way to do it is to start with a passage of scripture and read it and really work on just one verse a day, trying to add that verse, and then the next day try to quote that verse, and then try to add the next verse. A good place to start is actually Romans 6, which talks about us being dead to sin but alive to God. When you can start seeing yourself as dead to sin, you can start seeing and alive to God, you can start help you resist temptation. Also, if you're dealing with a certain sin, maybe it's sexual sin, you can actually read some of the passages of the Bible that talk about that. Maybe Proverbs 5, maybe 1 Corinthians 6, maybe 1 Corinthians 7, maybe some of the other passages that deal with this, maybe what Jesus said, if you look upon a woman and with lust, you've actually committed adultery in your heart, and you realize that God cares not only about outward actions, he also cares about our minds. He cares about what we think. And so it's important that we obey his commandments, that we hide his word in our hearts. And, you know, if you're in a situation where you're tempted and you haven't memorized the scripture, well, you could actually read the Bible at that time. You could actually use your computer to actually search out certain scriptures. You could even use your phone, your smartphone, or a tablet, an iPad, to actually search out scripture. How do you do that? Well, you can do that through a web browser, going to Bible.com. BibleGateway.com is one of the places you can go. There are various apps that you can get on your phone and on your tablet. Do this, and you can actually read the Bible. You can search for various scripture, various passages, and you can actually search it out and read this and meditate upon that instead of meditating upon the sin. And so God wants us to realize that even though this woman has some allurement and this act might be pleasurable, that there's an end, and the end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Verse 6, lest you ponder the ways of her life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. So you don't want to be looking at that actress or that singer or that, and they really flaunt their bodies. And really, when they have their award ceremonies, you know, you don't hear about someone that goes there and is dressed modestly. What you hear about is someone that's dressed provocatively. You hear about someone who actually is trying to entice someone that's not married to her to lust after her. And that is sin, and God doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to ponder the ways of her life. He wants us to actually ponder his ways. And we actually need to actually not ponder the ways of her life, but to meditate upon the ways of God. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, verse 7, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. So here you see discretion protecting and guiding, not even going near that path. You know, if you're struggling with alcohol, you shouldn't be going near the bar. If you're struggling with a sexual sin, you shouldn't be going near someone who actually, you know, would be an easy prey to, and who would be willing to actually allow you to engage in physical intimacy even though you're not married to that person. So you need to actually look at the Word of God and apply God's principles. And part of God's principles are to avoid the temptation, to just go a different way. When you see her going, coming your way, you know, go a different way. Get away from her. Don't return phone calls. And again, you know, we're talking about here in this passage is training a young man with an immoral woman, but you can flip this again. If you're a young woman, or maybe you're a parent who is training a young woman, you know, again, the training is to be, first of all, to be holy and righteous men and women, not unrighteous, and also to not go near the door of the house of an immoral woman. So you see here, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your the labors of your house go to a foreigner. So we see some additional consequences, and the additional consequences are your wealth can actually go to others, including to aliens, to those who are from another country. Your labors go to a foreigner. How would this happen? Well, one of the things that you see in the Bible, you can read Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, God's word talks about certain sins that are sexual, and there are other sins, including child sacrifice, that are mentioned there as well. These sins actually have national consequences. So not only is there a consequence for you personally if you commit adultery, or if you commit homosexuality, if you commit bestiality, if you take your son or your daughter and you sacrifice your son or your daughter to demons. You might say, well, you know, how would that happen? We don't do that anymore. Well, we actually do in America. It's called abortion, where people go and they sacrifice their sons and their daughters to their convenience, to their pleasure, so that they can do what they want to do without the consequences, so that they can say, well, you know, you're too young. Well, let's just kill the baby. This is wrong. It's sin. And these sins carry national consequences. And those national consequences can lead to actually foreigners coming in and possessing your property and you being dispossessed, even being taken captive to a foreign land. Israel had this happen to them. We could have it happen in America. It's time that we actually repent of our sins, that we follow God's commandments and God's precepts, that we look at His truth, and that we apply His words to our hearts, that we develop a biblical worldview, that we hide His word in our heart, that we might not sin against Him. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
It's February and love is in the air, but will it last? Love that is based on looks, pleasure, fun, good times, wealth, health, etc. won't last. Godly love, though, isn't based on circumstances. Godly love involves an act of the will. Children and families in America desperately need for husbands and wives to commit to love one another as Christ has loved them. With God's help, you can love your spouse until death do you part.
Jesus, I am thirsty, I am learning, had a hunger for more of You. You are the water, and You offer life that is making me new. Spirit, come, fill up my lungs air, my voice with prayer and my mouth with praise. Fill up my heart with song, for the journey is long and I need Your strength. Jesus, Your love is more than enough. I need mercy, I need